Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. You can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin, and this podcast, as always, is available at MMAoddsBreaker.com, and you can also check out my work at BJPenn.com and MMArings.net. Happy Friday, everyone. Made it to the end of the week, and guess what? UFC Boston tonight, so love these Friday events. Very, very rare in the UFC. Most events are Saturdays, sometimes Sunday, but Friday events are very rare, but I love it. So we have the full weekend to just hang out and do whatever, and we get to watch the card tonight. So I'm excited as hell for this card, but I got a lot of other stuff to talk about instead of UFC Boston, which I did break down with Cole Sheldon on Tuesday. So go back and check out that podcast, full breakdown of the fights. They'll be taking place in a couple hours from now. So go back and check them out. Betting odds are available for all 13 fights in the card. Odds definitely have tightened up now, as they generally do, getting into fight day. So some very, very close odds here, just looking at them right now. Very, very close. A lot of pick'em fights, essentially. Very few fights with widespread. So a lot of pick'em fights. Very, very good card. Competitive card. Should be a good event today. But got a lot of other stuff to talk about, so I'm going to get into it. First things first, Dana White was interviewed yesterday with, I believe, the Boston Herald, and he's nixed this Conor McGregor-Frank Gregor fight. Thank God. So Dana White says this fight's not happening. Doesn't make sense. Like he said, I know Conor wants the fight, but I don't want the fight. He's like, I know Frankie wants it, I don't want it. It just doesn't make sense. You know, he's like, Frankie was going to fight Aljamain Sterling at 135. Why would he fight Conor at 155? And you know what? I rarely agree with Dana. A lot of the stuff Dana says doesn't make sense to me, but this is something that does make sense. This fight doesn't – it just doesn't make any sense, really. You know, it was just – all it was honestly an easy fight for Conor to come back to. I know Frankie's tough, and he's got great wrestling, and I respect the hell of Frankie. He'll be in the Hall of Fame one day. Great fighter. But, I mean, he's basically two weight classes below Conor at this point. He's so small. You can't fight at 155 and be competitive in 2019, my opinion, or 2020, I should say, when this fight would happen. So, Conor McGregor, Frank Gregor, that fight is not going to happen. Now, you got to wonder who the UFC wants to book Conor against, because there's a few options. I still think that Justin Gaethje fights the fight to make, personally, because – honestly, I think Gaethje could be like that next big star for the UFC. He's got that fighting style that everyone likes. So that fight makes a lot of sense in my opinion, but it's a dangerous fight for Conor. He wants an easy fight, clearly. He thinks he could beat Frankie. That's why he wants this fight. Again, I have a lot of respect for Frankie, but it's just the size difference, guys, you know? Yes, he can wrestle Conor, take him down maybe, but I think Conor's going to be able to wrestle Frankie if anything. Don't forget what Conor did when he fought Max Holloway. Yes, he got destroyed by Habib on the ground. That's Habib. Don't forget what Conor did to Max Holloway a couple years ago. He took him down like with ease. So I feel like Frank and Chad Mendes, that fight, I mean, yes, he get taken down a little bit at the beginning, but once Chad got tired, it was easy for Conor. So I just feel like this was such a favorable stylistic match for Conor McGregor. Dana White says no to it. Now we just wait and see who Conor's going to fight. Dana says Conor will fight in early 2020. He's been saying this for a while now, so at this point, we're just waiting for him to get a fight booked. But, yeah, it's I don't know. It's you can't blame Conor for wanting to take from Frankie Edgar, I guess. You know, for him, he probably looks at it as a tune-up fight after such a long time out of the cage. Been out of the cage for over a year now. But I don't think too many fans were excited about this fight. I wasn't, personally. And now we can have Frankie. He can fight someone like, I don't know, he can fight like Peter Yan or something. While Henry Cejudo's out, he could fight, you know, someone like even – you know, Dominic Cruz or I favor someone like that. I think those are fights for Frankie that make sense at 135. For Conor, Justin Gaethje, you know, Edson Barboza, someone like that, like a name at 155. Those fights would make more sense. You know, Donald Cerrone, Dustin Poirier, those are the fights that make sense. So, again, we're just waiting on Conor's next fight, but hopefully it's announced soon. And he won't be fighting in December. By the way, I know some people were like, wow, that card's going to be stacked in Vegas. He's not fighting on that card. Those tickets go on sale today. That fight would have been booked already if that was the case. He won't be fighting in Vegas, guys. Unfortunately, I'll be at that card, but he won't be there. He'll probably be fighting, invited to guest in January on a pay-per-view somewhere else. I don't know where that pay-per-view would be, but that's my guess. Conor McGregor versus someone like Gaethje or Cowboy or Poirier or, you know, someone like that. All right, let's get to PFL. So last night, PFL 2019 number 8 took place. The odds dropped like 2 hours before the event. So they did come out, but super late. And I really hope this changes in the future. They actually, from what I heard, do a decent number of bets, but they drop so late that it's just so hard for, I think, bettors to really like look at the odds and do their research. They only have 6 hours to do it. I mean, it's crazy. So hopefully that changes in the future. They have one more event for the playoffs at the end of October, and then they have obviously the finals, the championship finals on New Year's Eve. So just two more events this year, and then, you know, I really like PFL, but at this point, it's like you don't really know what the future is going to hold. If they're going to have a third season or not, I hope they do, because I actually do like PFL. Gives the fighters another opportunity to make money and be on TV. So for me, that's a good thing. But I just don't know what kind of numbers they do on ESPN, and not only that, but there was someone that posted that was there live yesterday and posted a picture of the arena, and there was a lot of empty seats. So it's very unfortunate, because I think they put on really good events. They have good fights, really good matchmaking, really cool format. I like everything the PFL does, and they pay their fighters well. They actually do pay their fighters well, but again, you know, that comes at a price. And when you're paying your fighters well and not doing a great gate, and you're basically just relying on that TV money, how long can that last for? Okay, so let's just talk about this card we're having last night. I'll go from the bottom, work my way up. First fight of the night, Lance Palmer defeats That's not right, is it? Oh, okay, yeah. He beats Alexander De Almeida. Lance Palmer did. Is that correct? I got to double-check that. Yeah, so let me just double-check that, actually. That's weird. So the odds actually came out for let's see here. Okay, so he did. He beat Almeida, but they had odds out for the Bannadol fight, which obviously didn't happen because he missed weight. So that didn't happen. But, Palmer defeats Almeida. And then the next fight was Gilpin defeats Harrison via ninja choke. And that was a great submission win for Alex Gilpin. So the odds on Gilpin, he cashed at plus 180. Again, Palmer, the odds for that fight didn't matter because it was canceled in exchange for that Almeida fight. So I'm just going with the odds on best fight odds right now. So yes, Gilpin actually cashed at plus 180 in the first round. So he picks up the win over Andre Harrison. Cole Sheldon actually called that upset, so good for Cole. But I didn't see that happening. I thought Harrison would grind him out. Good win for Gilpin. Next up, this was a great win. Daniel Pineda defeats Mavlid Kabulia via first-round knockout. Tremendous win by Daniel Pineda. And he actually cashes a plus 500 underdog. Massive dog. So great job there by Daniel Pineda. Looked amazing in that fight. Next up, Jeremy Kennedy defeats Luis Rafael Laurentino via knockout, via ground and pound in the second round. He was a minus 105 underdog as well, actually. So he actually was the underdog in the rematch. Obviously, he had lost by knockout earlier this year, but I still thought he was going to be favored. I think the odds, they did. They opened him minus 140. So the line actually flipped a little bit, but I would have taken Kennedy as a dog. I didn't even realize the line had flipped at that point. I'd gone out and came back home and watched it later. But I think Kennedy as a dog actually there had some value. In the second round, Lance Palmer defeated Alex Gilpin. So Lance Palmer will be back in the finals. He won the tournament last year, the featherweight tournament, so he gets to defend his, I guess, title. And then the other fight, the other semifinal, Daniel Pineda defeats Jeremy Kennedy via first-round submission. Incredible win by Daniel Pineda. I mean, what a run this guy went on. What a run. Good for him, man. Won two fights in the same night, and I don't think any expected him to win these two fights. 34 years old. He's an experienced guy. I talked to him yesterday. Very experienced. He has 41 fights. And he's on a six-fight win streak now, but I just still didn't expect him to pick up these wins, because if you look at his career, he's been one of those guys that beats guys he should beat and loses to guys he should lose to, and this was really his breakout performance. You don't see that happen so late in the guy's career, but yes, I mean, great win for Daniel Pineda. Gets, again, that first-round win over Kabulyov is a plus 500 dog, and then picks up the win over Kennedy in the second round. So tremendous performance by Daniel Pineda. He'll be taking on Lance Palmer. I fully expect Lance Palmer to be favored in that fight. He deserves to be favored. He was the champion last year. And with that wrestling, he should be favored. But you know what? You can't completely count out Daniel Pineda with his finishing power and the run he's on. And he's just fresh right now, too. He hasn't fought as much as Palmer has lately. Palmer's been fighting so often and so, you know, close together. So, again, I would pick Lance Palmer in that fight for sure. But it's kind of crazy that Daniel Pineda has made this run. I mean, I don't think anyone expected him to win those two fights. So good for him. Gets the two wins and moves on to fight Lance Palmer. All right, next up, let's talk about the lightweight division. Again, going from the bottom, working right up. Nathan Schulte defeats Ramzi Nijhum in the first round via submission. This was a crazy fight. There are some GIFs floating around on Twitter. Fight lasted only 52 seconds. Schulte got dropped by Nijhum really early and then came back to choke him out. So good win for Schulte here again. He won the championship last year. He's a really good fighter. Akhmed Aliyev defeats Rashid Magomedov via decision. Islam Mamedov and Loic Radzabov fight to a draw, but Radzabov actually moves on with the Pride rules, so good for him. And then Chris Wade defeats Nate Andrews. So those were the quarterfinals. And then in the semifinals, Nathan Schulte defeats Akhmed Aliyev via second round submission with an arm triangle choke. So Nathan Schulte, once again, will be moving on to the lightweight finals. Great win here by Nathan Schulte. I think this guy's one of the most underrated lightweights in the world right now. 19-3-1 record. He is actually on a he's on a 9-fight unbeaten streak. So he's on a 6-fight win streak, 9 fights unbeaten overall with that draw against John Case. He's got some good wins too. I mean, lots of former UFC fighters: Jesse Ronson, Ramzi Nijum, Rashid Magomedov, Chris Wade, Jason High. 2 wins over Chris Wade, actually. This guy is a super good fighter. And one of those guys that doesn't get much love from pretty much anyone. But in my opinion, he's one of the better lightweights in the world. Trains at American Top Team, great camp, training with great fighters all the time. Very, very underrated fighter, very dangerous, very well-rounded. So he'll be taking on Loic Radzabov, who defeats Chris Wade in the last fight of the night in a grinding affair. There's also a gif of this fight. It's so funny. I think it was between the second and third round. Radzabov's corner, the guy drank some water and spit over his face. It was hilarious, but also disgusting. So go check that gif. I thought that was hilarious. But yes, Radzabov wins that fight against Chris Wade. Grinded him out and, you know, disappointed by Chris Wade. He made it this far. I think a lot of people thought he'd be favored to win this tournament beside Schulte, and he loses. So the finals for lightweight division is Radzabov versus Schulte. And that should be a pretty good finals too. But once again, I expect Schulte to be favored. He should be favored. Last year, he was a big underdog. Magomedov pulled off the upset. But this time around, he should be favored. You got to give this guy respect. He's a very good fighter. He's the champion. So I think Nathan Schulte should be favored. I think Lance Palmer should be favored, if you ask me. So I'm excited for both those fights. I'm excited for this finals. You know, again, a lot of people don't necessarily like PFL. I think it's actually kind of sad that there's a lot of fans that only watch UFC. They won't watch Bellator. They won't watch PFL. They won't watch any other show. But in my opinion, there's so much great MMA that goes on outside the UFC. And I'm sure that people listening to this podcast right now agree with you on that. And it's just sad that some people are so close-minded that they look at PFL like, these guys suck. They were the UFC. They didn't make it. They suck. They're like, they're washouts. No, that's not the case. You know, I think PFL just has good fighters, and they're giving them an opportunity. So, yes, UFC is still the best promotion. There's no doubt about it. But I think PFL is really good. They're clearly, I think, the number three promotion right now besides Bellator. And in fact, sometimes I think they're even a little bit better than Bellator in some ways. So they have a really good format going on here. And the finals on December 31st include Kayla Harrison versus Larissa Pacheco in the women's lightweight final, Ray Cooper III versus Dave Michaud in the welterweight final, Palmer versus Pineda, and Schulte versus Radzabov at featherweight and lightweight, respectively. So those are the four fights so far. And the week after, there'll be the last card of the playoffs where the heavyweight and light heavyweight finals will be determined. And I got to give a shout out to Sean O'Connell. I actually did on Twitter, and he responded to me and said he appreciated it. He's just doing a great job, man, as the play-by-play. You know, it's crazy how quickly this guy went from fighter to play-by-play and is excelling in this role. It's not easy to do. Play-by-play, I think, is very difficult. I think a lot of fighters can do the analyst job. I don't think that's as difficult. I think it could be tough, but I don't think it's as difficult as play-by-play. Play-by-play is hard. And the fact that Sean O'Connell is actually doing such a good job this quickly, it's incredible to me. So great job, Sean. You're killing it, man. Let's see. We're also going to talk about here. Okay. A few other pieces of news, and then one other fight announcement. I'll get out of here. Short show today, guys, with the card coming up tonight. Paige VanZant, she's back. She's talking to TMZ. And Paige VanZant's begging the UFC for a fight. She just said, basically, she's talked to them. She talked to them over a month ago, said, I want to fight. And she hasn't heard back yet. So very disappointing, I think, for Paige. She wants to fight. I feel like this has something to do with her talking out about free agency, because she only has one fight left in her deal. And I feel like the UFC is not really in a rush to give her that fight right now. They just want to kind of make her wait and sit on the bench for a bit, which sucks for her. But I think they'll give her a fight hopefully soon, now that she's actually going public with this. It's not a good look on the UFC, obviously. But, you know, I don't know who she's going to fight. She said she's open to fight at 150 and 125. I think 125 should just stay at, try one more fight. Because at least Bellator does have that flyweight division. So if she gets a win in her next fight, she can move on to Bellator and try for their flyweight title, which I'll talk about in one second here. But yeah, it sucks for Paige. But you know what? She was outspoken against the UFC. And this is what happens when you bite the hand that feeds sometimes, especially when it's the UFC. They don't like that. And I feel like when she's like, oh, you know, I want a raise, I want a new contract, and now she's not getting a fight, so that sucks for her. TMZ also interviewed Weili Zhang, who had some choice words for Joanna Jędrzejczyk. The interview's on their website, and basically she called Joanna washed up. Not in those words, but she just said that she doesn't think she's the same fighter anymore, and she actually doesn't think Joanna deserves a title shot. So that's interesting, because I think we all thought that Joanna would be the next in line for the title, but she said she's not interested really in that fight, which I thought is very interesting. She actually says she wants to move up to 125 fight Valentina Shevchenko, which, you know what, I like Weili Zhang. She's a good fighter, but I feel like she's biting off a little bit more than she can chew. You know, she got that win over Jessica Andrade, great win. I hope it doesn't get to her head. If she moves up to 125, you know what, she does have the striking skills to really be competitive with anyone, but Valentina is just so dangerous, and Valentina would be a big favorite to win that fight. So, you know, really, I do like her, but and I like the trash talk against Joanna, but that's her next fight. That fight will happen next, Joanna versus Zhang. So even though she doesn't want it, it's going to happen. Dana White actually was talking a little bit about Luke Rockhold as well. So Dana had this interview, and he bashed Luke Rockhold, basically said that this guy – he just basically said he's not good around women, which I thought was kind of weird. I mean, it's kind of a weird comment to make, honestly. I know he doesn't like him necessarily right now, but it's kind of strange that he would say that. So Luke Rockhold apparently spoke to Ariel Helwani and said that he's considering retiring, which makes sense. I mean, that last fight with Blachowicz was brutal. Apparently he broke his jaw in that fight. So, you know, Luke Rockhold, former UFC and Strikeforce champion, at one point, it looked like one of the best fighters in the world, and then that chin just didn't hold up. So, unfortunate, but this guy has so much other things going on outside the octagon. And Dana White going in and bashing him, I think it's just him being jealous. Luke Rockhold's a good-looking guy with other things to do outside of MMA, and I'm sure they've had a discussion. He basically, Luke probably said, I don't need this anymore. And I can't blame him, man. I mean, that last knockout was absolutely brutal. So, looks like Luke Rockhold's done with MMA. And I want to mention this one fight announcement in Bellator, which just doesn't make any sense to me. So, a few days or a few weeks ago, maybe last week, I talked about Lima McFarland's next fight against Kate Jackson, who none of us really know who she is. I think she's like 2-1 in Bellator. I don't know too much about her. Instead, she should be fighting Julianna Velasquez, who is undefeated and who looks like the number one contender. That fight didn't happen, but Julianna Velasquez is actually going to be fighting on the same card against Bruna Ellen. So this doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why is Velasquez not fighting for the belt? It's one of those things that Bellator does sometimes. They do strange matchmaking, and this is one of those things. Julia Velasquez should be fighting for the belt. Undefeated, that fight's a better fight. It's like almost Bellator just want to protect their fighter and give her a better, easier fight in Hawaii. Again, you want to see your stars do well in their home places, I guess, but this fight is just silly. So if Velasquez should have got that fight, it's actually really strange that she didn't. We're all wondering why. And I don't even know why. So I don't know why that fight couldn't have got done. But yes, she'll be fighting Bruno instead. And the champ's going to fight Kate Jackson. Just really strange. Okay, so I think that's it for today. That's all I want to talk about today, guys. So once again, thanks for tuning in to this podcast. Check me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. Podcast, as always, available at MMAoddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe. Check me out at DJPen.com and MMARings.net. We got UFC Boston tonight. Before the card, go check out the breakdown show on Tuesday. Go check out all of this week's shows. Go back and watch whatever you guys missed. Appreciate you guys tuning in once again. I'll be back Monday, breaking down UFC Boston, recapping it, and whatever all this news happens over the weekend in MMA. Thanks again, guys, for tuning in. I appreciate you guys tuning in all week. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the fights tonight, guys, and I'll be back Monday. Have a good one. Bye.